kids at. Shame on them. I'm gonna yell at them. Well, now we can start, huh?
Now we can. Right on time.
Right on time, 25 till.
That's great in tooth time, yeah.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, my mother, my brother, my sisters, who hear the word of God and keep it. And not perfectly, though. I heard some bad news from Laodicea. We're not quite hunkered down like we should. I got to spit this thing out here. Put it on my mask. We started Colossians the other day. We might as well keep going. Chapter 2. It's about the mystery, so that's what it's all about. The mousterion. I won't say Greek today. I was convicted over that. I was showing off because I could say it in Greek, but I've been practicing so hard. I'd do it in the mirror at home. I never really wanted to learn something like that, and that's like the first time I ever learned to recite something, and it wasn't even in English. So that's the Lord, though. He takes the base things of the world and to shame the wise. They're doing a pretty good job of themselves anymore, though. The so-called wise. What a mess, huh? It's funny. It's almost funny. People are uptight and scared and worried, and I just chuckle because they have no idea what's going on, what they're doing. They're lost, and they're without God in the world. They have no idea what's going on. They're trying to push him further away all the time. Changing all men to all women, and not allowed to say father or mother, or I don't know. I don't know what purpose that does, but well, enough of that. I don't know where that came from. It just popped out. But so we'll start in Colossians 2. We better pray first. Father, bless your word tonight. In Jesus' precious name, Lord. We want to honor him and exalt him to the highest. He's your only begotten, uniquely born, one and only. Hear him. You added that on. You added that. Hear him. Listen to him. Listen to him. We'll listen to him tonight, Lord. Thank you so much for your word, and thank you for the mystery that is Christ. And we just thank you for everything that's going on, and we thank you for the protection you've given us during this pandemic, Lord. And we don't take anything for granted. We're not cocky or bold on our behalf, but we know that you, as long as we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, we'll be safe and sound. 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but we'll be fine. Because we're in the aegis of the love of your Son, Lord. And we thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 2:1. For I want you to know how great a struggle, agona, remember the agona? I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea. And for all those who have not personally seen my face. Okay, the reason he mentions Laodicea there, that's all those cities are real close. There is Colossae, Laodicea is a few miles away, and then there was another city up above them, Hierapolis, that I don't think he mentions in this letter anyways. I don't know if it's mentioned anywhere else or not. But it's 100 miles east of Ephesus, so all the churches are pretty much all there together and at this time, right there in Asia Minor there. Today's Turkey, and it was the Lycus Valley. I looked it up on the internet. Didn't have too much to say about it, but they were pretty rich cities at one time. There was an earthquake afterwards there, and I don't think any of them made it out too well, though. But evidently, Laodicea was having problems already here, because at the end of the epistle, Paul wants them to get this letter that he sent to Colossus, and then send a letter that he sent to Laodicea to Colossus, switch them off back and forth, so they can get all the word of God that they can. In case he forgot something in the letter to Laodicea, he probably got it in Colossians, and whatever he forgot in Colossians, he probably picked up in Laodicea. But how's it going for Laodicea these days? I'm not real sure. Started out a few years back. Started out pretty good. Maybe we thought we were rich and didn't need anything. We had a nice tax cut there and a stimulus. Maybe we didn't lead the Lord that much as we have in the past, or we will definitely need him in the future. And we've forgotten that we're poor, wretched, pitiful, naked, gumnos, and blind, toothless. And we need to repent. I say that as a body, not as this place here, but as a church, we need to confess that maybe we got a little excited over the last years. It was kind of fun wondering what was going to happen the next day with this president, and we sort of maybe took our eyes off of you, Lord, and put our trust in the arm of the flesh, which is a curse. So maybe the pandemic was a curse. Maybe it's just part of your plan. It's hard to say for sure, and we don't really know. You know everything for sure. So the best thing we can do is just relax and rest and trust and wait for you, Lord. You'll show us the way. You'll never leave us on the brink. You'll always take care of us. Colossians 4:15. Greet the brethren who are at Laodicea, also Nympha, there's another one, and the church, oh, that's a lady, I guess, and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it also read to the church in Laodiceans. And you, your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Evidently, that sounded like he was the pastor there at Colossus, Archippus. And Paul was encouraging them to get his ministry going and fulfill it. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. Grace at the end of the letter, grace at the beginning of the letter. Grace and peace from the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2:2, that their hearts may be encouraged, that's our word parakletos, where we get the parakletos, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter. He comforts, he encourages, he's called along beside of us, is what parakletos means, to aid and abet anytime we might need a little help, which is all the time. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding in a true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. All that italicized stuff isn't in the original. They added all that in there. I don't know why, but true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ, bury it. Colossians 4:7-8. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant, fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. Parakaleo. Same word for encourage, like I said, parakaleo. Same name for the Holy Spirit, the parakletos, the comforter, whom I will send, Jesus promised, in the upper room, in John 14, 15, 16. And knit together is sumbibazo. It's to unite one another, knit together. And I'll be talking about the closeness of the body and later on. It's how we should be conducting ourselves. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy, how to conduct yourselves in the household of God, the church of the living, the God that is living. And a true knowledge is the epinosis, of course, to mysterion Christ. 2:3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, funny, that isn't epinosis there. That's just gnosis, regular gnosis. Wisdom and gnosis, when it's Christ, it's more than epinosis anyway. It's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-everything. He's all and in all. In whom are the treasures? That's our word, thesaurus. Treasure word, chest, a treasure chest. There's a big fat book. I have one. I don't know if I ever got one. Yeah, I have one at home, don't I, Ty? Yeah, a thesaurus. It's got just got every word in that you can imagine in it, and the homonyms and the synonyms and all that different stuff. I never really even looked at it. I never used it. I just thought I should have it just in case. I got it. Okay. Where the treasures are hidden, apokrypoi, where we get our word crypt, was encrypted. In the Old Testament, the mystery was encrypted, only to be revealed in these latter days to his saints. Phanerothe, made known to his saints. Jesus Christ, Lord of glory. Try this. There we go. Isaiah 11:1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. That's the key to all the other spirits, having a fear, a good, awesome fear of the Lord, knowing that how awesome he is and that he can do it all, and he's everything. The Lord is everything, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins. Sort of sounds like what we're supposed to be wearing. And faithfulness the belt around his waist. 2:4, I say this, that no one will delude you with a persuasive argument. Paralogizomai, to delude or beguile, to try to persuade someone from thinking right, just give little suggestions there to get them off course, and so they'll start seeing things your way, and you can detect when somebody's trying to pull the wool over your eyes or trying to lead you somewhere where you know you shouldn't be going. So that's always a thing that you should be filled with the word, so you can tell when stuff like that's going. So the word in your soul, through the Holy Spirit's power, will judge certain things. 1 Corinthians 5:3, for I on my part, though absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged him who has committed this, as though I were present. Good discipline and order is the word taxon, in arranging a due order, properly conditioned. Good style. And stereoma is steadfast, a solid body of support, strength, firmness. Paul is complimenting on their faith again. These churches couldn't have been established very long, but they all had Paul always congratulated them on the, how great their faith was. Known Romans, he said, it's known all over the world, your faith. So that was good. Paul's encouraging. Paul never talked down to anybody, or he was always encouraging. 2:6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. How did we receive Christ? By faith. We believe that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was raised from the dead. And that's how we were saved. Mere faith. Something we probably can't even understand it, or at the time we probably didn't. I know I didn't. It took me a couple years to read the Bible before I knew that Jesus was God. And one day I was reading John 1, and it just hit me. And I went running to my wife, Jesus is God, Jesus is God. And she went, I don't know about that. I said, well, I think so. I just got the word. You know, when you find out something and you get that, you know it. That's oida, I guess. Not epinosis, that's oida. You know for sure. The Spirit has convinced you of it. As you received him, so walk in him. Of course, by faith we received him. That's the present active imperative. Peripateo. Walk in him. That's just not walk around talking about Jesus all day, but it's a conduct. It's a way of life. It's the faith life, the walk of the faith life. Make it your way of life. It's going to be the only thing that's going to save us in these coming days. I thought of that term a lot as I've been studying this week. The coming days. It even took me to Hebrews. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching. So that verse has been big in my stream of conscience lately. 1 John 2:6, the one who says he abides in him ought to himself to walk in that very same manner as he walked. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. 5:8 of Ephesians, for you were formerly darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk while you have the light, because there's going to be a time when you don't have the light. And when it's completely dark and you're walking around as children of light, maybe some people wake up then. Maybe some people say, hey, man, this guy got something with this Jesus, this mystery stuff. So just keep walking in the light. The blood of Jesus will continually cleanse us if we walk in the light as he is in the light. 2:7, having been firmly rooted, being built up and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, or he mentions rooted and grounded again. Ephesians 2:20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone. Firmly rooted is rizao, caused to take root, to be strengthened with roots. The deeper the roots on a plant or a tree, the more sturdy it'll be, the longer it'll last. Get them roots down deep. And then being built up is epoidokameo, built upon to make stronger. And babio, different, that's the same as our before last verse, to increase in inner strength, established in your faith, just as you've been taught. You've been taught pretty well around here. And we got a lot of teaching to look forward to. This looks like a pretty good crowd for a Tuesday night, so maybe the Lord's giving you a little nudge here and there. Let's hope so. And there, these verbs here are passive. The Lord's doing them. We're not doing these. We're not being rude. We're not rooting and grounding ourselves as we sit here like we are tonight, listen to a message, and the Lord's walking through with his lampstand. he's doing this for us. He's rooting us and grounding us. He's doing it. It's him who does it and wills it and works it. So that was one of the most freeing things I ever learned. Right there. Philippians 2:12-13. Scary at the start. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Should be afraid that you're going to try to do something without God's willing and doing. That's what you should be afraid of. You don't want to see it go poof at the beam of sea thinking, oh, I did this and I did that and I did this and woof. Here's your loss. If you can have a loss, I guess, if he can give you a loss. 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. Philosophia must be a love of wisdom, but the wrong kind of wisdom, probably. Empty deception, according to the traditions of men. That is it's down there for it. Hold on then. Empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the Stoicheia, the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ, the knowledge of Christ. Take you captive is sulagogon, to carry off like spoil. They'll capture you and then carry you away and put you in prison. Carry off is spoil. Vain is, the word vain is kanao. We had kanao a couple weeks ago in Philippians 2. The kenosis prescription. God coming in the flesh, thinking it wasn't something that he had to grasp, or it was some kind of booty that he needed to hold on to. But he relinquished his rights, found in the likeness of man, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That's the kenosis prescription. That was a Rick doctrine, I believe, back in the day. Vain traditions of men according to the Stoicheia. That's the elementary rudiments. The first things. ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. That's Stoicheia. Matthew 15:2. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat bread. That's a tradition. That's a man's tradition. Of course, for cleanliness sake, you should probably. If you've been out working in a garden or something, you don't want to come in and grab a sandwich and start eating it. But they made a big deal of it. Probably had little golden bowls and little towels and wiped their little fingertips off and made a big deal of it. That's the way the Pharisees. That's what they did. Mark 7:3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. Paradosis, it's the same word as being betrayed. Paradidomy, that they're handed down from their fathers or from other teachers, probably. Different from your parents even, you know, just different things that were handed down over and over. And you just take for granted that that's the way it's supposed to be. Excuse me. 2:9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. 1:16 of John, for of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. In him the pleroma of the Theototes, all the Godhead dwells, kataoikeo, in his body, in bodily form. It's like John, in John 14, Jesus talking to the disciples, and Philip comes up, show us the Father. Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. And from now on, you do know him, and you've seen him. You've seen the Father, Philip. I love that. Man, it's a wonder he didn't faint right there when he got that revelation. Excuse me. Colossians 2:11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, we didn't all, well, we probably, I think it's a natural thing now when you have a child, they just automatically do it, maybe. I know it was with Ty, and when I was at the hospital, I noticed that the most of them were just doing it on automatically. If you know me, you know the Father also. I love that. Man, I can't get over that one. The circumcision. We weren't circumcised with a knife. We were circumcised without hands. And it was done at the time we believed, along with our baptism, which he mentions in the next verse. Having been buried with him in baptism, which you were also raised up with him. Didn't leave us in the ground. He raised us up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. His faith in the working of God, we were raised from the dead. Romans 2:29, but he is a Jew who was won out inwardly, and circumcision, that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. Ephesians 2:11, therefore remember that formerly you Gentiles, in the flesh also were called uncircumcision, akrabustia, by the so-called peritome circumcision, performed in the flesh by human hands. Galatians 5:24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Romans 6:4. Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we shall also be of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin, or sinful body, might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he now lives, he lives to God. Even so, consider ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Then in Colossians 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, desire, greed. Mortify the members that are on the earth. I always like that word, mortify. 2:13, when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions. Agrees with Ephesians 2:1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And 2:5 of Ephesians, even when we were dead, in our transgressions. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Same word in both verses there. It's one of them triple compound. Soon, together, zao, to live, and poieo, to make. Soon, zao, poieson. Made us alive together with Christ. It's pretty amazing. 2:14, having canceled out the certificate of debt. Which was hostile to us and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Ephesians 2:15, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, establishing peace. He is our peace. Christ is our peace. 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we are healed. The certificate is the is talking about the law there, what was against us. The power of sin is the law. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is sin, but the power of sin is the law. And that certificate of debt was rolled up, nailed to a tree in the form of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, canceling out the handwriting of the word is dogma, dogmasin, decrees and ordinances. Having nailed it to the cross, his body on a zulon. Oh, man. Great is the mystery. That's all you can say. 2:15. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. I believe it's through the cross, through it. It should be it. It doesn't matter, really, I guess, him or it, but we're talking about the cross here. So, 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph, triumbolo, and manifests through us a sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Triumbuo is triumph. It's a celebrity triumph. You see them Roman movies when they're marching through town in their best robes and that, and they got all their booty, all the people they capture and that, marching through the city with them. And that's the way it was at this time when he disarmed the rulers. He didn't disarm them. He undressed them. Stripped them naked. It was only poetic justice, since he hung on the cross naked, that his enemies would be undressed and put on public display through the streets of the eternity of the heavenlies. Sorry. In which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits, 1 Peter 3:19-20, who were once so disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Who is it that ascended but he who descended into the lower parts and preached to the captives? Hold on. Get a drink. TV show. I can't go long enough. just shows what a mighty God we have. They even the ones that he didn't strip, We're up in the Havleys. Sorry they ever they ever messed with the King of Glory. The Lord mighty in battle, strong and mighty. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. For if God did not spare the angels, 2 Peter 2:4, for if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, those waiting in Tartarus for their final destruction, even all those occupying the heavenlies, like I said, were totally distraught when he was raised from the dead. Poetic justice. Only right. Two sixteen. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon or a Sabbath day. This sounds like a bunch of Jewish traditions. Food or drink, clean, unclean. Peter, don't you dare call unclean what I called clean. So go over there, see Cornelius, and give him the gospel, and save his house. Let his household get saved. I'll save his household. So, thankfully, Peter was obedient to that. And but don't, in respect to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. The substance there is body. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting something else, but I didn't think it would be summer. The body belongs to Christ. It only makes sense since the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on things he has seen inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. You got a little swollen head there. He's having sightings of Jesus at the foot of his bed and different things like that. Or he got a special revelation that's not in the Bible about the end times. Or there's all kind of wackos. But the self-abasement, that's the worst, because that is a false humility. You know, the guys that are always, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. They have no idea of their great blessings, their plutos, their riches, that are to the glory of the grace of God. And he needs to read Ephesians chapter 1. There's a list there, 9 or 10 there in them first few verses. Heavenly blessings. Therefore, do not let what is good for you be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness. The gift of righteousness, glory in that, and peace, the peace that you have being reconciled to God, being justified with God. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and joy. Ever-ending happiness, more than happiness, but an inner joy. Jesus' joy. I give my joy to you, he said. Okay, I'll take it. If he wants me to take it, I'll take it. Colossians 2:19, not holding fast to the head, the kephale, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the growth which is from God. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's why we cannot ever afford to forsake the assembly, as some are doing as the day approaches. The Lord only knows when. Enter in and sup with him. Have a good three, four meals a day. You can have a midnight snack, too. But abide in him. Let his word abide in you. Let him abide in you. Christ is in you. Unless you've adakimoto, you've failed the test. But we can't afford it. The Lord only knows. Be a wise virgin. Fill your lamp up. Maybe even get a little oil extra. Get another little flask or something for some more oil. Just in case. You never know. The body supplied is epikorgao. Peter uses that also in 1:5 of 2 Peter. It's a supply. It's just a supply, it's where you get your supplies. Assume bibazo, this time, is united together, both in a passive voice. Again, the Lord's doing these things as you're continuing under his word, being spirit-taught in the assembly. Without sounding legalistic, should be going to church and getting the word. That's might be our half our problem today, because what do you say, Scott? 57% of church attendance is down 57% during the. I know people that are scared to death to go out of their house. They just scared to death are going to get that. I don't know. They weren't here when we prayed Psalm 91 that one night. Huh? we're in. nobody's perfect, but like I said, I've slipped up these last few years or so. Well, always, but especially when I should be hankering down and really getting at it. Been sort of. I can't say what I was going to say, but only been half, you know. Should have been more intense. That's why I prayed Sunday for more intensity, a more intense love, a more intense relationship with the Lord. Like I said, the Lord is doing these things, and one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:6. That word is oxano. The increase is oxano. To increase, become better. So important that the body be together. Because we need each other's portion to help bring out our portion. It's an amazing, just like all the body parts work together as one. You know, it'd be like some days you go out, you go to work one day and you don't have an eye, or you go to work the next day and your little finger's missing, and it's just not a whole body. When there's gifts and portions missing in the assembly. Isaiah 20, well, I forgot this one. Colossians 2:20. If you have died, not to mention, and you did, Romans 6:3, 6:5, 6:6, 6:8, 7:6, Galatians 2:20, Colossians 3:3. You died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world. Why, as if you were living in a world, do you submit yourself to decrees, there's dogma again, such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, all things destined to perish, in accordance with the commandments and the teachings of men. Isaiah put it this way, then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me. Their reverence for me consists of traditions learned by rote. Men's traditions. Matthew 15:10, after Jesus called the crowd on him, he said, hear and understand, it's not what enters the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man. Then the disciples came to him and said, do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard that statement? Like he really cared if they were offended or not. 15:17 of Matthew, do not ye not understand whatsoever entereth the mouth goeth into the body, and is cast out into the draft. I got that one from the King James. I like that word, draft. It goes out, it's cast into the draft. Like another one of their traditions was Korban in Mark 7:11. You say to your father and mother, I can't help you this month. I got to give all my money to the Lord this week. So I can't help you out. They call that Korban. That was one of them man traditions. Traditions of men. And that's about it for chapter 2. Like I said, it was going to be short and sweet. And then, but let's go a little further. 3 or 4 more verses. Because this will make us happy. 3:1. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, and you have, do I have to go through that list? Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And we're seated with him in Ephesians 2:5. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Don't be an enemy of the cross. Your God is your emotions, your belly. Keep your mind on the things that are above. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this time. And we thank you for your word, Lord, and whatever it might have for us tonight, Lord, just apply it for us. Give us the power that you who will and does, and we'll take that any day. Just help us to stay out of the way and relax so you can do it. So we can bear fruit. That means we're just standing there letting the stuff grow out of us. And that we might be pleasing to the Father if we bear much fruit. We thank you so much. Lord, thank you for these times that we live in. One of my favorite songwriters says, in times like these, it's hard to keep a man off his knees. But if you have to, drive us there, Lord. Whatever it takes to chisel us into that image so that we can be just like him. If not completely here on earth, we'll be like him when we see him, because we'll see him as he is. We just thank you so much, Lord. Bless the offering as your diakonos get ready. And just bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.